Hi, this is Dick Vermeil. And if you're not listening to the grilling guys and following Bob's instructions, you're losing out, buddy.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys, 96.1 ESPN Radio. Woo, what a good day. We've had a couple ciders here in me already, and I'm starting to feel the love a little bit. I'm liking this hard cider show, man. Hard cider next week, all week. They're going to be celebrating that here in West Michigan. We're just kicking it off right here on Saturday.
It's what she's got in cider.
Yeah. Oh, easy, brother. Easy.
So, dude, I just got this email this week from our buddy Chaz at Schmoes, and he made it back from his World Ice Fishing Tournament, and I thought we'd carve out a couple minutes for him and let him tell us all about, you know, what it was like out there in Finland hanging out with all my cousins.
Yeah, I bet he was.
On the grilling line right now, live, we have Mr. Chaz Thompson from Schmoes Brewing Company.
Get to it, kind of Anton.
Yeah.
He learned a new word.
Oh, I learned a lot of new words.
Yeah. I only remember the swear words.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I didn't think I should use those today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So how did Team USA do in the World Ice Fishing Tournament?
Well, day one was absolutely fabulous for us. We had two guys come out really, really well and ended up number five. And then on day two, the weather changed. The conditions changed, and we went to a new zones, and it kind of fell apart on us. So we slid down to number 11, and that's where we finished.
And how many teams, Chaz?
There were 13 teams.
Okay, so we had you had a showing. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. So
we got a lot of compliments from a lot of teams on how the Americans are maturing as we learn the European style of fishing. It's a whole different thing than what you and I do on your pond up there hunting crappie.
Huh. In what way? Just real quick.
Well, a lot of it is smaller fish. Their fish are much smaller in the inland lakes. And these guys from birth have been using these little palm rods that are only 6 or 7 inches long. They're using 1 and 2 millimeter jigs. When we were targeting big fish, we were using 3 millimeter jigs. Randy, I know you'd have to get out your glasses to even see one of those, let alone use the line that they use to hook these things up.
Huh.
And targeting these really tiny fish with the really light bite, they're going for mass quantity of fish through the ice, but that's what these guys do. And it's more popular than racing or anything in those northern countries.
So tell us, when you landed in Helsinki probably?
Yeah, we flew from O'Hare to Frankfurt to Helsinki, and then we hopped a train from Helsinki to Kuopio, and that was just over 4 hours on the train.
Wow. How fast was that train going?
It was clipping along pretty good. I'd say we were doing 60, 70 miles an hour most of the time.
Okay, so not a supersonic anything.
No, it was the city-to-city train, so it made number of stops.
And how was the vodka?
The vodka was great. I did take some Michigan vodka along from my buddy Rufino Valentine, and then the Russians had their vodka, the Finlanders had their vodka. There was a lot of vodka shared around. In fact, there's some blank spots in my memory from the last night.
And how about any good microbrews? Anything like that happening over there?
No, the microbrew scene is really not there in that part of the world. We went in to the hotel bar and the olet, or the beer as they call it, went up there, you only had one choice. It was beer. And that was the brand that they sold at that hotel, and you had no choices.
Huh.
Interesting.
So I'm happy to be home and back into my land of barley and hops.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to give us a little update on your wonderful trip, and we look forward to sharing a few of those stories over a pint down at Schmoes with you.
3 or 4 pints if I have my way.
Okay. Thanks so much, Chaz.
All right, guys. Cheers.
Okay. Yeah. That is Chaz Thompson, the head brewer from Schmoes Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Very, very good and old sponsor of ours. They've been with us like right from the get-go.
Yep.
And they're just really great friends. And Chaz had the opportunity to do some ice fishing. I think he actually went along as the scout.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he was necessarily fishing.
Well, but I don't know though. If you know Chaz, he's not a small man. So if
how could he sneak around?
If I was going to send him out as a scout, you know, at least I'm going to know that the ice is solid, right?
I can see him tiptoeing around. You know, what scared me when he started talking about a palm rod. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was the grilled pork chops I did this week. And I did that little thing I like to do with a pork loin. I sliced them. My daughter Emily and her husband Matt were home, and I wanted to grill something for him, and I wanted to get that wood fire, wood grilling briquettes out and practice a little bit on it, because that's kind of one of our newest sponsors, and I wanted to get the feel for grilling over wood. Well, I sliced up a pork loin into like inch and a quarter cuts, and I took some of Old World Olive Company's garlic olive oil, and I put it in a bowl, and I added some thyme and some fresh rosemary and a little bit of sea salt and some fresh crushed black pepper. And I stirred that up, and I just basted it on the chops. And then I took my jacquard, and I just pulverized those things with all that oil on it with a jacquard until I just destroyed them. And I threw them on the grill on that wood fire. And, of course, when you do that, they're kind of flat. But as you grill them, they come right back to shape. And, dude, I got to tell you, actually, you were there.
I was waiting for you to give me a
like
breath,
it?
Man. Because, no, I have to compliment you. They were very good. And it was a nice surprise. Bob called me at 4:45 and says, "Hey, Jop, I got some extra chops on the grill. Come on over." So I'm saying, "Yeah, hey, why not?" So I did. And they were very good. And those of you that don't know what a jacquard is, sometimes we get technical. But a jacquard is like the old circus bed of nails, right? It's just a bunch of long pins that you pierce the meat with to tenderize it. But the way Bob described it is you're actually driving the flavor into the tissue of the meat, and it flattens it out a little bit, but then when you apply the heat, it draws right back together.
I love your descriptions, and I often forget that you used to be with the circus.
Right.
It just kind of escapes me.
How do you forget?
But the point is, grilling on that the wood fire briquettes, it was cool. And, you know, the week before I was in Ohio, and I went to a restaurant called the Brown Derby. All their grills are wood-fired grills. It's such a coincidence, because I typically haven't really ever considered a lot of grilling on wood. I'm a bit of a purist for charcoal and
right.
Whatever. I had loved my infrareds and stuff. It's really nice. I do it when I'm camping all the time, yet I don't think about it at home.
Well, newsflash, charcoal, the kind you use, is wood. I mean,
yeah,
it's
but
oak
it's different. It's way different. It doesn't. And when you're grilling on wood, you get a little more smoke with it. You know, it's a different flavor profile.
Right.
I like it.
Yep.
I mean, I thought the pork chops were great.
The pork chops were very good,
yeah.
And they weren't too overly seasoned either. You could taste that light smoke.
And I think that's the key is, you know, when you're figuring out your flavor profiles, you can always add more. But if you go in too heavy, and if you mess with it too much, like if you grill fish especially, a lot of fish are very light and flaky, and, you know, they'll really absorb the flavors if you're not careful. You just go in with a little hint of something, and it kind of reminds me of that cranberry cider we just tried. It's just got a nice little cranberry profile. It doesn't kick you in the face.
Yeah, you know, and when I was doing the research for this show, I was looking at, well, how can we cook with hard cider? And you know what I came up with was a couple things, but the natural here is marinade or mop sauce, that being a barbecue sauce you put on after, or a marinade where you soak the meat in it for a period of time before you actually cook it.
I thought you said jop sauce.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, there's an acidic tendency to this cider that's going to help tenderize the meat. And you don't want to leave it in there too long.
Right.
But, you know, for a couple hours, I don't think it's going to hurt you at all. So, you know, you can simple little marinades, maybe a little ketchup, some onion, maybe some tomato paste in with this cider, maybe a little brown sugar if you wanted to, just to get a flavor profile in there. But let that cider do the work. You're going to get especially good on pork and chicken. You're going to get that apple overtone to it. It's going to be really good. But
yeah, that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that.
Yeah. Coming up next, we've got Andy Sietsma from Sietsma Orchards. And Andy is going to break down He's a master of cider. This guy is turning it out here on the northeast side of Kent County, and we're looking forward to talking with him and maybe having a little sample. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.